Thank you, Sister Yutai. Brothers and sisters, good morning. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord today, and as we go through the season of Missions Month, and the missions team has curi-curi pinjam dua minggu in January, and then lagi empat minggu in February, so that we can just add in a bit more fire to the fact that this church is a missional church. Let me read to you from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. Some of you may know of this passage really well. If you grew up in Sunday school, surely you have seen this either on a PowerPoint or one of those blue felt descriptions and storytelling. Some of you may have acted as Moses. Some of you may have acted as Aaron. Some of you may have acted as Pharaoh. Some of you have acted as Miriam, the sister, in all of the Sunday school plays that you've done. But now we want to look into a little more detail on how we can apply this to us as we respond to God's holy call to be part of His holy mission. Let's read Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. There are Bibles in the pews if you would like to take a look and read at it with me. Otherwise, please take out your Bible apps and we will read along together. Let me read from the NIV. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said, God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Let me reiterate. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is who are you to say to the Israelites? Yahweh has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, or Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generations to generations. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand had compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. This is the word of the Lord. Oftentimes, we think that as we look at characters like Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, as we look at Jonah, or we even look at the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we think of them as people who are specially selected by God to do a specific mission, and it doesn't generally pertain to any one of us. We just need to be good believers and good followers, and do the necessary minimum, and carry on as Christians. Oftentimes, we even look at the New Testament, and we see the acts of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection, which then becomes that sacrifice for us that we may be called righteous before God. And then we think, thank you so much, oh God, now I can live my life with some ease, knowing that personally, me and you, we're good. Oftentimes, we look at the apostles or the 12 disciples, and we think, wow, what mighty men of God. Thank God they did it and not me. We often think that these mighty calls are only for a select few. Is that really true? The answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, that only a particular people can go and do this work. But no, in that God is calling a particular people who would call themselves children of God. So yes, my dear friends, you are a minority of minorities. 9% of this country is Malaysian. Yeah, and within the Chinese community, a smaller slither of the Chinese community are Christians. The majority language, therefore the national language of the Malaysian church is in fact Bahasa Melayu. But even put us all together, we are a minority. That's the reality of it. Therefore, there's much mission to be done. And God is calling his priests. And in a Baptist church, when we say his priests, we don't mean pastors and elders. We mean every member, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we are called to do the work as children of light, to bring light in the darkness of this world. Thanks be to God, he has been faithful. We have seen revivals all over the world through select people who had beaconed out or brought about immense revival in history and even in current news and times, in the Middle East, in Asia, and in Africa. But the sustaining power of God's revival and the sustaining strength of God's mission, he has chosen his people, each and every one of us, to do his mission. So my friends, this holy call to a holy mission is not merely a general principle that how we should then live our lives as mission-minded people. It says, no. This is a holy call from God to the hearts of everyone who say that they believe in Christ Jesus. This is your call to mission. This is your call to mission. So if you're writing notes, write a note at the bottom and ask yourself, when is the next time I'm going on a mission trip? And answer that within 2 months. And see where the Lord takes you to advance his gospel. Now, what parameters? We'll discuss that. What principles? We'll discuss that here. Suffice it to say, whether it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, the judges like Samson, or the prophets like Samuel, or the kings like David and Solomon, or even the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel and Daniel, or the minor prophets like Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, or even the 12 apostles, name them please. I gave you the easy one. Come on. Matthew, John. Mark's not the 12 disciples. James, Jude, Simon the Zealot. Okay, you need to take a look. Bible classes, please. Tuesday nights, we're starting again, Major Prophets. Okay? This is your call to heed God's word and be able to share it and know it and love it and display it for those to be affected by it. And by the way, if you're a member of Pantai Baptist Church, you signed up for it. Have you guys read your constitution lately? One thing that has not changed, and I pray to God will never change, is that in Article 13, it's my fault, hang on. Yeah, Article 13 of our Statement of Faith says this: it is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ, every follower of Christ, and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. The new birth of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit means the birth of love for others. You know what that means? Not to say that this is salvation by works, but the fruit of God's salvation is that in your hearts you have love for the lost. You will not just have a love for Jesus, because Jesus will then call you to love those whom he loves, and he loved the lost. When Jesus was around the world, was among us in this world, what did he say about sinners? He says, "I have come. No healthy person needs a physician. I did not come for those who think they are holy. I come to those who are sinners, lost in their sinful world." Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded the preaching of the gospel to all nations. It is the duty of pastors? No. Is the duties of deacons? No. Is the duties of only people who are interested? No. It is the duty of every Christian to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, ungirded by a Christian lifestyle, aka holy living, and by other methods in harmony with the gospel of Christ, to become all things to all men, so that we might by all means save some. So if you are a PBC member, if I see your face in our database, if you are a card-carrying PBC member, you have eaten lunch at Caris at least once in your life, if you've joined us and realized that this is what the Christian community entails, my dear friends, this is the root of it. If any of you have joined me in PBC's 101 class, the latest one was last week, you will know that I would preach this from the mountaintops. One of the distinctiveness of being a Baptist church is that we have a conviction of missions for world evangelization. What does that mean? If we don't do missions, we're not a Baptist church. Or I will put it even more crudely, if we don't do missions in our lives, we're not a Christian church. But how does that unfold? Someone may come up to you and say, "Pastor Mark, I am not well. I cannot sit 6 hours in a Hilux and being thrown around in that Hilux for 6 hours in the mountaintops to be able to share the gospel to a group of people whom I don't even know the language." You know? Or someone may come up to you and say, "Pastor Mark, I'm so busy, I have no time." Or maybe to some of us, or a lot of us, we may say, "Pastor Mark, I'm beyond my prime already. This banana rotten already. Cannot go already. Mush." Well, here are a few principles of a holy calling. Okay? I'm going to put the points all up for you just so that you can just take a look at it very quickly. Here we are. A holy call is three things. Okay? The principle of a holy call, it bears three things. Number one, it is personal. Number two, it regenerates. And number three, it sends. Number one, it's personal. Number two, it regenerates. And number three, it sends. Okay? Thanks be to God, each and every one of us here have a particular background, have particular experiences. You have traits that we cannot replicate between one another. Some of you may have come from broken families. Some of you may have come from healthy Christian families. All of which God uses so that his message can be uniquely displayed to those people who are in need. First of all, the holy call is personal. You look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, you will notice a few things. Number one, you will notice that when God wanted to call Moses, he was planning this all out to call him personally. Okay? There's a note here that says, you know, now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. Okay? He is, as far as we know, priest of the Most High God, because if he is a priest and he is around that mountain and that God, the true God, revealed himself on that mountain, it therefore suffice it to say that Jethro knew the one true God. Not by Yahweh, but by that one true God, the priest of Midian. And you know what was the easiest thing God could have done? God could have just whispered Jethro in his sleep, "Hey, Jethro, call your son-in-law to go back to Egypt and to summon the people back." He could have just, you know, nudged him, just like that. Tell Jethro to tell Moses to go and do the work I'm calling you to do. But he did not. He did not. Moses was the one that saw the burning bush, but it was not on fire. Moses, the one that had that curiosity. Oh, I'm going to go see what's up. And when Moses went near that fiery bush, it is God who then said directly to Moses, "Moses, Moses," to which Moses replied, "Here I am." And then God had that personal encounter and conversation with him. This is what you will see as a unique and particular trait of God to all his people. When God called Abraham, he whispered him in the wilderness. When God called Moses, it was by that burning bush. When God called Isaiah, it was at the altar of the Lord. When God called Jeremiah, it was a whisper in the still voice. When God called Elijah, it was in the stillness in the mountain. When God called Paul, who then was Saul, he stopped him on his road to Damascus and went to him personally, talked to him personally and say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And when God spoke to his people, he summoned personally, set aside Paul and Barnabas to do the work that I have laid out for them to do. And friends, that tells us that God is calling each and every one of you personally. God is calling each and every one of you personally to a mission. Some of you may say, "God will never use me. I don't have a theological degree." My dear friends, some of the best evangelists do not have a theological degree. What they really need is just to be able to witness of God, of their personal encounter with God, because that displays the reality of God in our lives to share unto others. Moreover, it regenerates. A very interesting note here. When God called Moses, God told him, "Do not come any closer, take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." This is a synonymous, universal symbol of submission. That you realize that what you're going to step into is someplace that is not common, is not normal, it's unique, it's special, it's set aside. So even though God said to Moses, "Don't come any nearer," but the fact that God had personally invited him into his holy presence. Why? "Take off your sandals, because there you stand is holy ground." So God is inviting the whole of Moses, knowing full well that he is the best man for the job, not just because of his background, but because he, the Lord, has summoned him. Friends, some of us here may only find security in God like wearing safety boots in a construction site. Some of you may be using God in that form of security. Some may use God as if he is like a pair of 9-inch heels and you're here to display yourself. Whatever those may be, God says, "How beautiful are the feet are those who bring forth good news. And on top of that, you shall wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. God is asking us to take off whatever security we feel that makes us us, put our whole selves into His presence, and let Him use you in His entirety. I'll give you an example. I don't need, well, it's always nice to have doctors, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers to go for mission trips. Oftentimes, I also need to call for lawyers, accountants, engineers. I need to call for people who can speak multiple languages, because God has a special use and place for you in every season of mission. So don't be surprised, my dear friends, if God is actually personally calling you by your name. And notice, friends, Moses is not a Hebrew name. Moses is an Egyptian name. It's given to Moses from the princess, the Pharaoh's daughter. He said, your name shall be Moshek, because I have drawn you out of water. It's an Egyptian name. God did not choose to change His name. You are called Moses, but now I shall call you something else. Nuh-uh. You are Moses, and that is, you are Moses. You are the one drawn out of the water, and I will use all of you, including your background as a prince of Egypt, including your current situation as a strange man in a strange land, as a foreigner. You will go back to who is actually your people, and you'll be under the name of an Egyptian, Moses, an Egyptian name, to go and reach out to the people of Israel. God is going to use the entirety of you. Secondly, He regenerates. Verses 7 to 9, it says, I have heard, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of Egyptians and to bring up onto the land that is a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So we see how God is regenerating Moses by pulling Moses into the mission call. To say that, Moses, these are the people that you used to beat, they used to enslave, until you realize that they are actually your people too. Now I have heard the call, and you have seen their suffering as well. So let me regenerate it. Let me now use that, your eyes, your experience, your lips, your words, let me regenerate it for my mission for you, to bring those people into a land flowing with milk and honey. Let me use you to redeem them. Friends, God will regenerate you. God will be the one that will take care of you. What do I mean by this? How old was Moses when he was called for this mission? Anybody can take a guess? You know, last time when we saw the pictures of Moses in the burning bush, you know, oh, and the movie The Prince of Egypt, he looked very young, huh? You know, in his 40s, just got married, two young kids, oh, so cute. He was 80 years old when he was called. He was 80 years old. Raise your hand if you're below 80 years old. If you're below 80 years old, raise up your hand. There's not a theoretical question. If you're below 80 years old, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Okay? All right? Your hands are, no, keep it up. Okay? Lord, you see the hands who has been raised up. Now use them, oh God, for His missions. It's you. So if you ever say, Pastor Mark, I'm too old. Nonsense. Moses was 80. But please don't wait until you're 80 lah. So this, but there is a significance of Moses being 80 years old. It's significant because what does the Bible say about how much time we have on this earth? 70, meaning 70 years. 80 at best. For those of you who are above 80 years old, please proudly raise up your hands. If you're above 80 years old, raise up your hands. God is God has given much blessing upon you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters, above 80 years old and above. You know what that means? You're late. Time to go to work. And for those who are not yet 80, don't wait till you're 80. God said, God chose Moses at 80, not at 40 years old, to show that it is God that's doing the work in his life. He has seen the people, and I will take you, Moses, and he will send. Verse 10, it says, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. A holy call is a sending call. Friends, whether you're 80 or 40, and by the way, you may say, oh, you know, since Moses started 80, I started 80 lah, but Jesus started at 30. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men from the age of 12. That means each and every one of us here, no excuse. No matter what age you are, what status you are. In fact, the fact that you have lived that life and you can see the change of Jesus in your life compared to others, you therefore become that living witness and testimony of God. Because of all the good things he's done for you, through you, for others. Therefore, this is a holy call to God's holy mission. We are called to a people. Verse 10 to 12, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Verse 10 to 12 is a very interesting discussion here. First of all, Moses is talking. If I was in the HR department of God's missions, of God's missionaries, and I was talking to Moses, and Moses would ask me, who am I? I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. I would look at him and say, what are you talking about? You are perfect for this job. You have spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. You know the ins and outs. I'm sure you speak better Egyptian than anybody in Midian. More often than not only that, you spend 40 years under Jethro, my servant, priest of Midian. Lagi pun, you marry the daughter. Become pastor's son-in-law. You know the job. You know what needs to be done. You're qualified. But we must prevent ourselves from doing that. Leaders, elders, and pastors, and deacons especially. We must remember that God is summoning Moses not merely of his qualifications, but he actually wants to mold and change his character. That's why God didn't tell Moses, what are you talking about? I've led your life to be ready for this. But he is reminding in verse 12, he says this, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it's I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. He is reminding Moses, and he is reminding us today, friends. Friends, I am sending you to a people group that you may not know, that you may not even know how to speak to them, but don't worry, I will be with you. And that's all that matters. I will send you, and I will be with you when you go and profess this great call. When you go and share the good news to your friends. Now let's talk about qualifications for a bit. If you are a student and go to college, I'll tell you this. I ask that you prepare yourselves to go to Christian fellowships in whichever college or university that you're in, not to learn, but to be part of the mission effort to go and preach the gospel. If you are working in whichever circle of influence that you're in, this is a call to you, my dear friends. You are called to a people around the people that you are working with, leading, following, in corporates, in business, even in government. Some of you are civil servants here. Dear friends, please, you are there among them to summon God's people unto Him. And if you are retired, traveling up north and south, taking those trips they've always wanted, fantastic. I heard testimonies of brothers and sisters when they're in the middle of traveling through Tibet and Mongolia, they get to share the gospel. Why? Because they're stuck together for 2 weeks in that tour. So guess what? You have a captured audience. Not captivated, captured. And let them know that you are there to proclaim. Verse 13 to 17, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God has identified himself not merely according to relationship with the history of the past, because that is an anchoring point, but God also wants to tell you that he is not limited to history, past, present, and future. He is who he is, he will be who he will be, and he is to you the God that you need, not what you want. And therefore he says, I am, Yahweh has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you out of misery in Egypt into the land of flowing with milk and honey. Friends, when you are called to a task of missions, please remember, God is not depending on your wisdom, on your knowledge, on your background. He's not asking you to have any eloquent words. He's just basically telling you to say that which he has been saying from the generations past and now until generations future. That the name of Yahweh is to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And by the name of Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, every knee shall bow in heaven on earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So friends, when we are called to usher in the kingdom of God, we're doing nothing else but saying that Jesus is here. Repent, believe the good news. You know what that means? You don't need to go through all 9 modules of BEC. You don't need a master's in Christian studies. You don't need a certificate. You don't even need to go through the membership, baptism membership classes of BBC to memorize the Constitution. I don't make you do that. But you're called to do very simple thing, to proclaim and to help people to be redeemed back into the kingdom of God. You know what's the interesting thing? Verse 18 to 20, God sends, right? God, in verse 10, God sent Moses, and then verse 18 to 20, to bring them back to him. There's this beautiful interaction that we have with God, that he doesn't just want us to come home, but he also sends us out to bring others along as well, so that the company will grow bigger and bigger, so that the family of God gets more and more. That's why you see in verse 18 to 20, the elders of Israel will listen to you, and you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. By the way, God is not asking Moses to lie. Okay, God's not asking Moses to lie. This line here is indicative to anyone in the ancient times to basically say, we're going away, and after 3 days away, we'll probably stay. The implications is there. Okay, so it is to be a separate people. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. God will do the judgment. He has sent Moses to redeem his people. God is doing his judgment today. He is calling us Christians to redeem his people. Yeah. So as you respond to God's holy call personally, know this, from a personal call, you are going to a people whom he seeks to redeem. If you are called, if you are regenerated, which means by the grace of God, he empowers you so that he may use you. And even that also, after the work is done, you may say, oh God, thank you. It's not me, it's you. That is what you're called to proclaim. And as he sends you, please note this, friends, he is not sending you to a wilderness so that you may suffer and die out there. He's not calling you into a depraved world totally with nothing. But he said he will be with you, and he is calling you back unto him and bring his people along. In other words, friends, God memang is calling you to a holy mission. The only question is, are you listening? Are you heeding? Will you be like Moses? Maybe some of you are like Moses. You need some time just to take the fact that, oh yeah, God is calling me too. But I don't know the right words to say. I don't know what signs or symbols to do. Don't worry. Let the Lord work with you. Let the Lord work on you as you allow the church to work with you. That's why we have resources that is catered in these next few months for this mission work. Again, we go back to our constitution. There's no denial, friends. We are part and parcel of it. Next slide. So we have that BEC on Tuesdays, and we'll be talking about the major prophets. And every one of these prophets are saying something unique, although similar, in proclaiming the sovereign work of God. And so on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., we will be going through this to show that how, even from 600 years before the birth of Jesus, the Lord has already proclaimed by prophecy that all these things will be fulfilled through him. Next slide. On top of that, as in our constitution, as in Matthew 20, verse 18 to 20, we are called to make disciples. So on Sundays, starting on February 2nd, I know it's still Chinese New Year, but if you can spare an hour on the first and second Sundays, we will be training on discipleship. Yeah, this will be internally by PBC's own teachers, so that we may learn to work out this holy living and bring people into the same journey of being Jesus' disciples. I implore the young people, especially youth, after youth, have a quick lunch, and after that, come and listen to this for an hour for the next 3 months. Six months. Okay? And if you are already itching, Pastor Mark, where do I start? How do I start? On Sunday, February 16, Gideon's brother will be coming to teach us on the evangelistic method of the Gideons called conversations. It's basically how to use this little booklet where it has the New Testament and Psalms. But the cool thing about this is that it has a back feature here where it has all the Bible verses and references step by step on how to lead people to Christ. My dear friends, even if you don't know what to say, you just repeat here, God loves you, John 3:16, Romans 5:8. We're all sinners, Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. God's remedy for sin, Romans 6:23, 1 Corinthians 15. All the words are there. All may be saved, Romans 3:20. Will you confess Jesus Christ as Lord? There's even a way to profess Christ as Lord there and then. This is not just a nice little compact thing that is being replaced by handphones. This is actually a good conversation piece to start to help people know about Jesus. And it's in the back of every free New Testament or by the Gideons. So no excuse. You want to learn how to use this February 16th. There are limited spaces because we want to make sure we want to make sure that we can learn straight from the teacher. So maximum space of 20. Okay? Maximum space of 20. So my dear friends, enough said lah. Need I say more? Whether you are 80, if you're below 80, you got work to do. If you're above 80, you're late. Let's get to work. If you are in college and you're busy with your studies, bring the Lord into your campus. Some of the greatest revivals right now is happening in campuses. if you are working, I tell you, there's no other place that needs the gospel than the working world of today's corporations. The ethics, the work ethic, the stress, the tensions that comes out of it, friends. And for the retired, the number one cause of death among young people between ages 13 and 30 years old is suicide. In equal numbers of suicide happened in Malaysia among the age category are also those who are retired between the ages 60 and 80 years old. And one of the reasons why the elderly are committing suicide like that is because they lack purpose, they lack meaning, they lack belonging. All of which, by the way, can be easily fulfilled if only one of us would invite them to Charis. So this is not a theoretical philosophy on a holy call to talk about the concept of missions. No, my dear friends, PBC, this is our holy call to do His holy mission. Now, will you respond? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for Moses. The story, the great story of redemption from the ancient days. Lord, we thank you that from that, we see the redemption of not just Israel, but the redemption of your people, of every nation, tribe, and tongue. Thank you, O Lord, that you would graft us, Gentiles, non-Jews, you would graft us into your tree of life through your Son, Jesus, the vine from whom we are the branches. Lord, you call us to not just benefit from the Christian family. You call us not only to be privileged to be called as one of your children, that by believing in the Lord Jesus, we may be redeemed. But more than that, oh God, you call us to be empowered to redeem, that as we proclaim your good news, as we offer a little token of peace unto others, they may come to realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, as you send us out, as we balik kampung, take us, O Lord, not just with snacks and goodies and angpaos. Send us also, O Lord, with the greatest gift of the good news, so that maybe firstly from our family reunions, or even reuniting with friends which we have not met in a long time, may you call to us, O Lord, one person who we have the opportunity to share about Jesus and how you've been so, so good to us and how you are so, so good to them to be redeemed as your children. All that we are, all that we have, let us offer it unto you, O Lord. That everything that we've been through, sickness and health, wealth and poverty, joy and despair, we ask that you use them all, oh God, for your glory. Lord, there are some of us here who may have some resentment of the chapters that you've made us go through, oh God. It may be hurt, it may be grief. But God, we tell us by your Holy Spirit that even in those things, and even in those times, and even in those seasons, you will use it for your glory. And so, Lord, we will make that every pain and effort even worth your glory, so that we may see your matchless work in our lives. So that our whole lives may be a pleasing sacrifice. Let us offer it unto you this day, as we respond to your holy call to do your holy mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.